first learned about Jesus in an old country chapel, surrounded by people who believe what that preacher man was preaching from an old worn-out Bible that brought hope to all who receive. So clear and simple, without any questions, making right and wrong easy to see. Now some say we were mistaken what the manuscript was saying, yet that written word of God is still clear to me. It's so clear to me. I can't find gray. It's all black, white, and red. The scripture is the same. It still says what it did then. From the prophets of old, who were called and spirit-filled, gave us that living word that was given to them. Some lost their lives and blood was shed, yet they wouldn't bow or wouldn't give in. For that old black, white, and red. Seeking for a new way that seems right in these days, I choose to stay with what got me here. It's given light to my darkness and to the path I travel, changing my uncertain steps to clear. You know I love the plain and simple answers to my questions, making right and wrong easy to see. I'm not looking for any changing what the Word of God is saying. That old ancient Bible still works for me. It's still working for me. No, I can't find gray. It's all black, white, and red. The scripture is the same. It still says what it did then. From the prophets of old, who were called and spirit-filled, gave us that living word that was given to them. Some lost their lives and blood was shed, yet they wouldn't bow or wouldn't give in. That old black, white, and red.
Hello everyone, Roy Williams here, the Guru of Good Health, the Superintendent of Supplementation, here to bring you another Monday School. That's right. You know, I enjoy teaching Monday School about as much as anything I do anymore. Why? Because I get into the Word of God, I study it, because I want to do what Jesus told us to do, and that's to study to show ourselves approved. And I want to help you understand things that I'd never understood when I was growing up, didn't understand till I was an adult. A lot of things that the Bible is there for us to understand, but without some direction, without some teaching, without some research, without understanding some of the Hebrew and some of the Greek, these things are kind of hidden from us. As a matter of fact, you can read in the Bible about the mysteries of some of the things that God teaches us, that Christ taught us. And it is kind of confusing how God could say things about Esau, how he could hate him when he was still in his mother's womb. I mean, you got to think about what a profound statement that really is. And then you look into the book of Jeremiah, one of the greatest prophets that ever taught us what God said himself. And you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, and what do you do with a statement like this? It says, now this is Jeremiah telling us what God is saying to him. God said, he says right here in verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, you know, what do you do with statements like that if you've been taught your whole life that Adam and Eve were the first two people created and that the earth is only 7,000 years old? I mean, that's a famous teaching by most of the religious groups around the world today. I was taught that my whole life. I was told many times that, that evolution's a lie, and I believe evolution is a lie. Trust me, I think God made everything the way he made it, the way it is today. It's just generations and generations later. In the races, for instance, if you've got two people of the same race, and they marry within their same race generation after generation, I don't care if you go through 1,000 generations, they're still going to be the same color. You got to put two and two together. You got to understand that God works within nature itself. So, I've been telling y'all for a long time now, especially when we went through Genesis and then we went into Revelation, and now we've just finished 1st and 2nd Peter. And today what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of bring everything together for you so you understand the beginning and how things started, to understand clearly the three earth ages. Now, I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people that's been in church their whole life. What are you talking about, the three earth ages? Well, they're mentioned throughout the Bible. You just don't know exactly how to interpret what you're reading, so I'm going to help you with that today. And I think by the time I'm through with today's lesson, you're going to have a clear understanding, and you're going to fully understand that, yes, there was an earth age before this one that we're in now. This is the second earth age. I call this the flesh age, because this is the only age that's spoken of in the Bible. The first earth age was spirit. The first earth age was here on earth. It lasted millions and millions of years. Then the second earth age began when God put his people here on earth in the flesh. All his children were required to be born through the water, through the flesh, and live on this earth as a test to see which direction we would go. And then you go all the way into the third earth age, which is talked about after the millennium in the book of Revelation and throughout the Bible it's mentioned. But you go, "But Roy, I've read it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say first, second, or third earth age." You are correct. But let me tell you what it does do. It gives you insight to understand what I'm talking about when you understand what the catabo is. Now, I know you probably don't get that either when you're taught in church, in most churches. You're not taught about that. But how do you find evidence, proof of the catabo? How do you find out evidence, proof of first, second, and third earth age? Well, that's what today's all about. I'm going to title this one, "The Foundation of the World." I think everybody should know what I'm going to go over with you today. Now, understand, a lot of what's in the King James Version of the Bible has been translated from Hebrew and Greek and into English, okay? Now, in the original translation in 1611, that old English, I tell you what, grab you an old Bible, go to the library and get a 1611 King James Version Bible and try to read that English. Well, then they upgraded it in the 1800s so that we would understand it even better in modern English, and yet they still didn't get a lot of the translations exactly the way they should have for us in the 21st century to understand what's being said all the time. But let's begin today's lesson with the foundation of the world. Now, that's mentioned several times in the Bible. I'm going to go through several of those places where it's mentioned today, and I'm going to ask you if you got your King James Version, you want to go along, I'll give you the scriptures. You can turn to it, at least write them down so you can read them later, because I only have 30 minutes to go over this with you. Actually, not even that long, so less than 25 minutes to go over this and try to help you understand the first, second, and third earth age. So, in order to do that, you've got to understand what the foundation of the world means, okay? The foundation actually comes from the noun themelios. It occurs in Luke 6, 48. 49:14, and it all in also in 49 in 14, I mean, and it is verse 29. Okay, it also occurs in Acts 26, Romans 15, 1 Corinthians 3, Ephesians 2, 1 Timothy 6, 2 Timothy 2. Of course, Hebrews 6 and Revelation 21. Now, I know I went through those kind of quick, but you can listen to this again and you can get it. You don't have to look all those up. I'm telling you, it's all mentioned right there. Now, listen to this. That word it's talking about there, the foundation of the world, is never used of the world cosmos or the earth, okay? The corresponding verb is themelio, which occurs in Matthew 7, 25, Luke 6, 48, Ephesians 3, 17, and Colossians 1, 23, Hebrews 1, 10, and 1 Peter 5, 10. The verb is only once used of the earth, and that's in Hebrews 1, 10. Now, a comparison of all these passages, though, will show you that these are proper and regular terms for the English words to found and foundation. That's what it's talking about. You see, if you have a Strong's Concordance, you can look up all the places in the Bible where it says the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world, or whatever it says, and that's the interpretation you're going to get, before the earth was formed, all right? But then let's look at the noun katabo. That's K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E. It occurs in Matthew 13:35. 25:34, Luke 11:50, John 17:24, Ephesians 1:4, Hebrews 4:3, 9, and so on. It goes all the way through. I'm not going to even cover all of them, just giving you scriptures like that. My point is real clear. It is a real thing. The foundation of the world is real, and it either means when God first formed the earth out of whatever he made it out of, the dust and the particles, the minerals and everything, or it refers to the foundation of the second earth age, which is what you get into in Genesis. We're going to cover that in just a minute. So accordingly, the noun katabo, derived from the connate with the verb ought, to be translated, listen to this, disruption or ruin. All right, so as we go through this today, I'm going to point out the ones to you where the foundation of the world goes back to the Hebrew and the Greek, which means katabo. The remarkable thing is that in all occurrences, except Hebrews 11:11, the word is connected with the world or cosmos, and therefore the expression shall be rendered the disruption or ruin. So what we're going to go through today is we're referring to the disruption or the ruin, which clearly referring to the condition indicated in Genesis 1:2. So if you've got your King James Version of your Bible, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. If you don't understand the beginning, you're never going to understand most of the Bible, or especially not the end of the Bible. Don't mean you can't understand salvation. It don't mean you can't understand, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. He gave him in his blood. He let him shed his blood and die for us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. you need to understand where this is all coming from. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, that's period. It doesn't say how long it took. It doesn't say how long it lasted. But he did it. Now, I want you to understand something. God don't create anything that's not perfect. Now, he gave us freedom of choice, which makes us able to make bad decisions. But he also gave us the ability to make the right choices. But he left it up to us. Why? What's true love? True love is to set something free. If it comes back to you, it's real love. If they don't care about you and don't call you and don't check on you and don't, that's not real love. Well, that's the way God is. He wants us to be free to make our own choices, and that's true love. We're to look at verse 2, though. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, we got to look at this. Why in the world would God create an earth that was without form and void? He wouldn't. Now, we're going to refer back to this in a minute. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. What's the deep? It's waters. The whole earth is now underwater. God created the earth. A dispensation of time went by. And this is where, if you read in the Hebrew manuscripts, that one-third of God's children, two-thirds stayed with God. They didn't follow Satan, but one-third did. And God got so mad that he destroyed the earth that then was. Now, I want to point out something to you in verse 2. You've always got to remember this, underline it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth, where it says was without form and void. That word was a terrible interpretation from Hebrew. If you look that up in Hebrew, it means became. Boy, don't that shed a whole new light on the picture. And the earth became without form and void. All right. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon what? The face of the waters. So the entire earth has been now put into ruin. Remember, what does the foundation of the world mean? Well, it's like I told you, it means disruption or ruin, destruction or ruin. It could be either way. So remember those things. Now, I'm going to take you to some specific verses of Scripture that's talking about the disruption of the world. It's an event forming a great dividing line in the dispensation of the ages. In Genesis 1:1, as we just covered, we have the founding of the world. In Hebrews 1:10, we have Themelio. But in Genesis 1:2, we have the overthrow. The what? The overthrow. See, you were probably taught during your church years that Noah's flood, the flood that happened during Noah's day, it was God's flood, was the only flood. No, that was the second one. That's why he said in those same verses of Scripture, he says, I will never completely destroy the earth with water again. He did it one time, and that was the Kadeshah. And now he's done it. He either flooded with Noah's time a specific region of the earth where the Nephilim had gotten involved with the women and created these horribly mean giants. And he said, I've got to destroy that bloodline. That's terrible. And they were in the bloodline, by the way, of Adam and Eve. Why is it so important to remember the bloodline of Adam and Eve? Because Adam, the eighth day man, God created Adam and Eve on the eighth day. He created all the races on the sixth day. We've gone over that before. But then he created a different bloodline. Adam and Eve was created on the eighth day, and that was a chosen bloodline that would be the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Now remember, all through the Old Testament, blood sacrifices were required for the forgiveness of sins. Something had to die for our sins. And then they would shed that blood, ask for forgiveness, and God would forgive them of their sins through that shed blood. Well, guess what? In In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we learned of the ultimate sacrifice. You follow that bloodline from Adam all the way through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way through Noah, all the way through David, all the way to Jesus Christ. And he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He became the ultimate blood sacrifice for the remissions of all sins without us having to any longer go through that ordinance of sacrificing animals. Christ became that sacrifice. So here we go. We're going into the dispensation of ages. And we covered it in Genesis 1:1, and that's the foundation. And Genesis 1:2 is the overthrow. All right, so we got ample New Testament testimony is given to the profoundly significant fact recorded in Genesis 1:2 that the earth became tohu and boku, which means waste and desolation, and darkness upon the face of the deep, as it said, before the creation of the heavens and the earth, which are now, which is covered in 2 Peter 3:7. So here's your New Testament connection to what I'm teaching you so you can understand that what I'm saying is in fact talked about in the New Testament. So we will go to, let me get there, 2 Peter, that we've just taught, by the way. But we're going to go to 2 Peter. And where did I go with that? That is right here on 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's go right here. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, this is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, this is the first earth age, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. There's the ruin, the disruption, the starting over, all right? 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, this is the second earth age, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Boy, do we ever live in those times now of ungodly men. Now, so, you know, you're seeing what we're talking about. How could God hate Esau before he was even born? Because, you see, in that first earth age, one-third of the entire population of God's creation turned on God and followed Satan. Rather than kill a third of his own creation, he just said, I'm going to remake the earth and will destroy the earth, first earth age, dispensation of time, you could call it. And I'm going to have all my souls that I created, all the people that I created, they're going to be born in the flesh. That's why I call the second earth age the flesh age. And then on the sixth day is when he started having people, those souls be born through woman, through water. A woman's water breaks, a child is born, and those children are born blank. You see, when God sent us from the first earth age into this one, all of us understood that he's going to wipe out our memory. We're not going to remember the first earth age. He's going to give us enough reminder of it throughout the Bible to be able to understand what I'm talking about today. But understand, he started it all over again. And all souls have to be born through woman, and they have to go through this trial called flesh and blood and lifespan, and to see which side we choose as we understand the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. That's where this is going. I'm telling you, it all goes back to that. But you got to understand earth ages. So I'm going to ask you to go with, if you would, for even further proof of what I'm talking about, Isaiah chapter 45, that great old prophet Isaiah, verse 18. I want you to turn to Isaiah 45:18, and you can just write that down and look it up later. Here's what it says in the King James Version. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. In other words, he didn't create it without form and void. Why would he do that? It was a habitation for all of us in the first earth age. He formed it to be what? Inhabited. He made the first earth age for us to inhabit it. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So right there in Isaiah, he's given us proof of the first earth age that he made it, and now we're into the second earth age or the flesh age. Now, I'm going to challenge you to go to Matthew 13. You might want to write these down or follow me. Matthew chapter 13, verse 35. Now, you got to remember, this is Jesus speaking unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. See, he always spoke in parables. Why? He said, study to show yourself approved. Why? Because he's going to test us to see if we're willing to figure out who he is and if we love him or not. Verse 35 says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from what? From the foundation of the world. Now, if you look that up, that's the dispensation of time after the first earth age. This is the flesh age he's talking about there. So, see, the foundation of the earth, which is the katabo, is spoken of many, many times in the Bible, and especially not only in the Old Testament through Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, but also through the New Testament through the disciples themselves. And then you look at Luke chapter 11. Go to Luke chapter 11 and write it down. That the blood in verse 50. All right, go to verse 50. Here's more proof that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of what? Of this generation. What's that? That's the second dispensation of time. It's the time we're in now. It's the flesh age. And then you go to John chapter 17, verse 24, and it says, Father, I will that they also, this is Jesus talking, whom thou hast given me, us, the people that he's given us, given to Christ, be with me where I am. Where's that? Second earth age, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me, what? Before the foundation of the world. I hope a lot of things are kind of coming together in your mind now. There had to be a first earth age because they're always talking about before the foundation of this earth age. This is not hard to understand when you start to put the pieces of this puzzle together. So we go to Ephesians, and we'll go to Ephesians. Let's see if I can, right here in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did he choose us? Before the katabo. Before we were put on this earth in the flesh. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Look at verse 5, having predestined us, what does it mean? He knew us in the first earth age, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Remember, God made all things for his pleasure. Don't ever forget that. Now let's go to Hebrews real quick. I haven't got much time left. Chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the earth. You see, he knew who he was. He knows who we are, and he wants us to follow him. So now you're beginning to get a clearer picture of the foundation of the first earth age, the transition into the flesh age, the second earth age, or dispensation of time, and we're headed to the third earth age, and that is after the millennium. Thank y'all for listening to today's Health Update. I love all of you because you love the Word of God. You love to study it. Hang with me. It gets better and better. Until next time, may God bless all of us with abundant health. Thank you for listening to today's Health Update. If you liked what you heard and wish to hear it again, or if you'd like to share it with someone you know, then remember that it is as simple as going to www.nhcherbs.com. That web address again is www.nhcherbs.com. Scroll down and click on the microphone and choose the title that you wish to hear. You could also go by NHC Herb Shop in Killen, Herbs and More in Athens, or Reflections in Lawrenceburg. If you heard about something you liked and would like to learn more or to order, remember, go to that same website or call 256-757-0660. That number again is 256 757-0660. Remember, when you use the website or call, use the promo code Today's Health Update at checkout and receive a 20% discount off our regular retail prices. That's a 20% savings when you use Today's Health Update at checkout. We'll teach you how to support your health, doing it God's way using His creations instead of man's way using His concoctions. Until next time, may God bless you with abundant health.